Good morning, Chief.
Good morning, John. How are you today?
I am fine. I am calling you from our offices here, our Voices of Oklahoma, and I'm talking to you and your office there in Pawhuska by phone. Your experience with the Killers of the Flower Moon, the Cannes Festival. Who was invited to the festival? I know your wife, Julie, was with you. Was there a bigger contingent of Osage?
Yes. Apple asked Scorsese, and he gave a list. On that list was Yancey Redcorn, and he was able to bring one guest, which is his sister, Maura. And Yancey plays Chief Bonnecastle and does a good job in the film. Scorsese, he asked for another Redcorn, a cousin of Yancey, plays a medicine man, to be there, and he brought his son. And then there was our newspaper editor, Shannon Shaw. But I think, I'm not sure if she was with Apple or the press group at Cannes. And then there was a few others. Of course, Chad Renfro is our ambassador, and we could not have pulled this off without him. And Chad brought a guest. So it wasn't a large group, but there was a group. That's correct.
You walked the red carpet, and that seemed to be a big thing.
I knew you were going to ask about that.
What is that all about?
Okay, well, here's what happened. So here's the hotel, okay? This is like a 5-star hotel. Thank you, Apple. So the Apple handler for each group of us has Apple people who, like Secret Service agents, they have earbuds talking to each other. And you have to be at a certain place to catch this limo because there are like thousands of people outside. They're looking to get selfies or photos of their favorite stars, etc. Well, most of the people at Cannes are not the stars, but everyone there is industry connected or press one way or another, or the movie. And so we're being shuttled in these long line of limos, and our limo pops up at a certain moment and then get into the limo, and it was just like in the movie. You had to push yourself through the crowd because all the people are taking photographs thinking we must be somebody or why are we coming out of the hotel getting in the limo? We get into the limo and we go down in line, all the in different limos, to the theater, which is a couple blocks away, and there's the red carpet. And we all get out, and everyone's standing around, not quite sure what's going to happen next, but we are confident the Apple team will guide us through this. And I am putting my blanket on, symbolize what we do, our people. I look up, and my wife, Julie, is with Chad Renfro, and they're being told to walk down the red carpet, Julie dressed in her Osage clothes. And so there they go, and Chad is such an expert at this. He goes down there. He stops, turns, 100 cameras taking their photo. Then he walks down a little more, and they both turn to the left, and then more photos. And then they just do this and go up the formidable staircase that goes up, and then they ask somebody else to take off, and I'm staying there, and I'm just like, well, I say, Yancey, I get a little unsteady or anything. I want to reach out to one of you big guys and like, hold your shoulder or something, because that looks pretty imposing. Next thing I know, someone said, Chief, okay, just go. I went, go, huh? And so I started walking. And I thought, well, should I stop and, turn a right, let everyone take a photo? And I said, well, they're not here to see me. They're here to see everybody else. So I just thought, look, I should just keep it simple. I should not fall down. I should just keep my focus on the stairway that's up here and just walk down the red carpet and get up their stairway. And I really thought I was something really great to accomplish all that until I saw Thelma Schoonover, She's the movie editor, and she's won several Academy Awards for editing. And Thelma's in her 80s, and she just comes walking down that red carpet like she does it every week. Mm-hmm. And she's just happy as can be. And then she just pops her way up those steps. Thelma is just an incredible person, which is the great thrill, is getting to know people like her, with her and Marty. And I got to sit next to Robert De Niro for the movie. That was fun. And all the stars, and they're people. And as soon as you get to know them as people, they have their personalities, and some of them are very reserved, and some are very outgoing.
Yeah.
And it's just their personalities.
Then you had dinners. You sat next to Robert De Niro, and he spoke Osage to you, did he? Was he pretty good?
Oh, my gosh. Well, during the movie, the Osage language is spoken throughout, and De Niro is one of the best. And he had some of our language teachers, of course, work with him, and they told me what a serious student he was day in, day out. So we're watching the movie, and I was sitting right next to him, and there was this one scene he goes in and just talks in all this Osage, and it was so well said. It was just impressive, and I nudged him and, gave him the thumbs up. That was nice. Really impressed. But they all did a really good job.
Was it at times hard to watch?
No. Well, I've seen it before, okay? And we've heard the story, although we don't really make it part of our conversation, all our lives. It's something we just don't dwell on. But I can tell you, none of my direct descendants were murdered, but I couldn't help but think about those Osages who I know very well, and I see like sometimes every day, because we're all here during our ceremonies right now during June. How would it feel to see my grandfather or grandmother on the big screen being shot like that? I just imagine I would be hurt, shocked, rage. I find when I first saw it in New York, it was just depressing, that part. And what was shocking, of course, is by design, I think, is the how in the movie it reflects actual events. Everyone just took it, the non-Osage, the undertakers, the people who had something to gain financially from it, the guardians, how they considered it normal, almost, to kill an Osage, and then through the legal process, and the illegal process, both, working in tandem, to take the wealth of that Osage and to put it in their own hands, or in the hands of someone they control. That made me angry, of course, but we've known this forever. But I don't have any direct ancestors that I can imagine. For those that do, it would be very upsetting.
Right. The cast members, Leonardo DiCaprio, Lily Gladstone, and others were there. So when they viewed this, was this the first time they had seen it in its full final production?
Well, we saw it in New York. Leonardo DiCaprio sat with us in a screening room, so I know he's seen it. But as far as the other actors, I did not ask. I was told, though, as we were heading to the after party, that Jesse Plemons, who does a great job as Tom White, the head of the FBI team, mm-hmm. he had not seen it. And he cried for 10 minutes after it was over.
Wow.
That's what I was told by people. I was waiting in line to get back in the limo, and no one said anything else about anybody else.
Yeah.
So that's what I know.
As I recall, you said your niece is in the film. Is that true?
Well, a lot of our nieces and nephews are in the film, and I have more than one niece and relative. My wife, some of my wife's relatives are in there, some of our friends. I like to tell people, although you see Osages all through this as extras and other tribes, that there are a lot of Osages behind the camera, working with world-class costume makers, Academy Award-winning costume makers, Academy Award-winning cinematographers, you know, having our people behind the scenes, people building sets, people learning how to, for lighting and building the sets. For like, there's only a lot of our people who are behind the camera.
The whole story takes place in Fairfax. And since I talked to you last time, I was in Fairfax actually a week ago, and I talked to Joe and Carol Connor, publishers of the Fairfax Chief newspaper.
Yes.
And let me just tell you the impactful moment that I had. I stood in front of the Tall Chief Theater, and of course, Joe and Carol have that memorial in there and to with storyboards talking about it. And Carol took me out on the main street, and she says, points across the street to where Bill Hale worked in a bank, then pointed to the next corner building made of stone upstairs where the Dr. Schoen brothers worked, and then the pool hall upstairs next to Bill Hale's place of the work, the Cowboys, and then what is now an empty lot where the mortuary was Mathis Mortuary. And she said all he needed to do, Bill Hale, was to walk out of his place of business, walk over to the Schoen brothers and say, we're going to poison so-and-so, go up the pool hall steps and go find a cowboy if you wanted them to kill somebody, maybe give them $500, and then walk across to the mortuary and say, now to mutilate this body or whatever so that forensics won't know what happened to that body. She said he could do that within 5 minutes, and it just got me in my gut's the only way to say it.
Well, and don't forget how the court system at the time, the state court system, and the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs had to approve the transfer of those properties, those oil and gas royalties, headright interests, and land to the people selected by the Hale and people like Hale. And so as David Grand points out in his incredible, excellent book, it was a matter of who was not complicit, and the role of the federal government and the state cannot be ignored in this. And Scorsese did not spend a lot of time on that, but I'm sitting right now in a building that was built in 1922 for the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And in this very building, a lot of these bad deeds were carried out to assist those who murdered my people. This very building.
Yeah. And, of course, I was with you in that building.